Help me. Help all of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at how we could take our thought life, our thoughts, okay? I mean, it's hard to imagine anything more close in or more intimate than the thoughts that pass through our mind. But we looked at how we could bring those thoughts, how we could bring the thought life that we live every day and bring it under the sovereignty of God. Our thoughts are so intimate, so close in to who we are. It's hard to imagine how we could exercise much influence over it, much less shape and form our thought life so that it brings glory to God. But today, we'll take a look at something that is intimately tied to our thought life, our strong propensity to worry. I've had a saying that's worked pretty much all of my life, or at least I've lived it. I shouldn't, but I do. If in doubt, just worry. At least then you're doing something. Right? I know very often that's how my mom had to live. She never worried about me, did she, Kathy? No. Actually, there's nothing more appropriate for me to talk about than that, because my mom had to worry about me a lot. Unfortunately, I kind of thrust that on her. I gave her a lot to worry about. But she still trusted Jesus through it all. I know that. She gave me actually a model to live. But just worrying because at least then you're doing something, which is really all that you seem to be accomplishing, doesn't really work. Worry is probably the least productive of all of our intimate habits. It most often accomplishes absolutely nothing. But for some reason, we seem to take some comfort in it. What if we could grab a hold of this habit of worry and take some level of control over it? What if we could actually exchange worry for something useful, even productive? Well, let's stop and think. Now, what does worry actually accomplish? Well, it causes health problems, right? The old English word from which we get the word worry originally meant to choke. Worry has a choking quality about it, doesn't it? In fact, it causes all kinds of health problems. It leads to greater anxiety. It leads to sleeplessness. It leads to a loss of appetite. Or even worse, for people like me, it leads to overeating. It leads to headaches, acid reflux, high blood pressure, ulcers, even respiratory problems. Simply put, worry can drive you to an early grave. Worry can also keep you from enjoying the moment. To use a cliche, worry doesn't just remove you from your life. Doesn't really just remove years from your life. It removes the life from your years. It prevents you from getting the most out of today. Have you ever found yourself in a beautiful setting? And I remember just the other day when we had a full moon and it was, it was so beautiful. It was orange. It took up half the sky. Remember that? Just a few days ago. You could stop and look at it and actually, it was a breathless sight. It's one of those incredible moments. But as I stood and looked at it, I started thinking about all this stuff that I was worrying about. Quite frankly, it ruined the moment. In a sense, I let worry take the life from me at that moment. And I've been there more times than I can count. And I thought, wouldn't it be nice if I didn't have this problem to deal with? I always assumed that I could stop worrying when I stopped having problems. But the problems never really seemed to go away. When one problem gets solved, another one takes its place. So, you know, it seems like I always have something to worry about and always had a reason not to get the most out of today. It's a pattern. I think most of us probably experience it from time to time. But that's what worry does to you. Corrie ten Boom once said, "Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows. It empties today of its strength." So what does worry accomplish? Really, not much that's positive. A lot that's negative. And really, if you stop and think about it, worry is a sin. That's a harder one to absorb. But worry is sin. Worry stems from a lack of faith. And anything that is not of faith, the Bible says, is a sin. So when we worry, we're saying, in effect, "God, this problem is bigger than you, and I don't believe I can count on you to get me through it." Isn't that what you're saying? And that, honestly, is a sinful attitude. My goal this morning is to encourage you to break the grip of worry and to replace it with a new, empowering habit of trusting God and walking in faith. And if you're willing to put aside worry, your life will get better in a number of ways, okay? First of all, you'll learn to focus on what's important. There's an old proverb that says, "Worry often gives small things a big shadow." When we worry, we tend to overemphasize the significance of less than significant things. They become bigger even than life. Jesus said in verse 25 of Matthew 6, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes?" If you think about it, most of the things we spend so much energy and time worrying about are trivial, especially when you think about them in comparison with the ultimate concerns of life and eternity. Time magazine ran an article a few years ago about a sergeant who had been wounded in battle. He'd been hit in the throat by a shell fragment and had to have several transfusions. When he awoke, he had a tube in his throat and he couldn't speak. And so he wrote a note to his doctor asking, "Will I live?" The doctor said, "Well, yes." "Will I be able to talk?" The doctor answered, "Yes." And so he smiled as he wrote another note asking, "Then what in the world am I so worried about?" Isn't that true? Secondly, you'll recognize God's provision. Verse 30 says, "If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" Most of the things we spend so much time and energy worrying about are trivial. And at least in my experience, most of the things we worry about never come to pass. Do you notice that? Thomas Jefferson once said, "How much pain they have cost us, the evils which have never happened." Isn't that true? In my experience, the reason why these worries never come to pass is because God provides for me in each and every situation. It's not that we luck out at the last minute. It's that God comes through for us because God is good and faithful, and we can trust Him. When you're willing to let go of worry, you can see more clearly how He provides for you in each and every situation. So the question is, how can we let go of worry? It doesn't seem to do us any good. It's very intimately tied into our thoughts and into the way we respond to life. How can we let go of worry? And this morning I want to say, how can we let go of worry and replace it with faith? Today we'll look at three steps that you can take to help you put worry in its place. Okay? First of all, check your priorities. Check your priorities. In Matthew 6, Jesus preached on the topic of worry. We read it a little bit ago. It's interesting that before he talks about dealing with worry, he talks about dealing with priorities. He reminds us not to lay up treasures for ourselves on earth, but instead to seek treasure in heaven. And he reminds us that we can't serve two masters. We can't serve both God and money at the same time. And he tells us in verse 34, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Worry is a signal that something isn't right. And it's usually related to our priorities. When we worry, it's because we're putting something ahead of God. That means that when you worry, sin is involved. When I get wrapped up in worry, I begin by asking myself, what have I put ahead of God in this situation? If you're worried about something, it may be because you've put too high a priority on what you're worrying about. So what do you worry about? Well, let's see. How about things like what the neighbors think? But there are things in life more important than their opinion. Do you worry about your job? Your job isn't the last job on earth, and quite frankly, there are other jobs out there. Are you worried about a promotion? And this won't be the last promotion to come along. There will be other chances. There are more important things in life than a job promotion. Are you worried about the stock market? This isn't the first or the last time that we'll see a downward trend in the stock market and in our nation's economy. And it certainly won't last forever. We know that. There are more important things in life than the value of your stock portfolio. We worry about the things we're not sure of, so make the effort to rethink your priorities. Jesus said it that the most important thing in life is to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And if you set what you're worrying about, try to discern, what is it that's really bugging me right now? What is it that's causing my stomach to churn? Is this seeking God first and the kingdom of God first? If it's not, I should set it aside. So take a look at your priorities. Secondly, pray. That's it. Just pray. Not pray and. Just pray. Just as worry is a signal that something isn't right, it's also a signal that we've got to devote more time to prayer. In the book of Philippians, Paul said in Philippians 4, verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Prayer has the power to remove worry and anxiety from your life. but only when you give it a chance. A professional fundraiser I was talking to once told me that the number one reason people do not give to a political campaign or to anything really is because they're never asked to give. It seems obvious. If a person is never given the opportunity to give, how can they give? The same can be said about our prayer life. James said, he said this, "You do not have because you do not ask." For some reason, instead of asking God to help us through a situation, we fret over it. We worry. Instead of trusting Him to work out the details, we continue to worry. And in doing so, we miss out on a wonderful privilege given to every child of God. The Apostle Paul said that as a child of God, you have the privilege to present your requests to God. And that means that in any problem you have or in any situation you encounter, you have permission. To be exact, you have a direct order to make a request to God, telling Him exactly what you want to happen. Now that's quite a privilege, isn't it? We have a tendency to want to handle the little things ourselves and only bother God with the big stuff, right? And there are two problems with this type of thinking. First, it's all the small stuff that we just want to pass off. But if you stop and think about it, everything is small stuff to God, isn't it? What seems so big to us, really, as far as God is concerned, is just small. Secondly, if we don't let God help us through the day-to-day problems, how can we trust Him to help us tackle the toughies? When you pray about everything, you'll begin to see God's power at work in little inconveniences and in major crises. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 3, 5, verse 7, that we should cast all our anxiety on Him. Why? Because He cares for you. And in my life, I've noticed that there's an inverse correlation between prayer and worry. How much I do of one determines how much I do of the other. The more I pray, the less I worry. And the more I worry, it's because I'm not praying enough. Third step to putting worry in its place is to take action to resolve your issue. Take action to resolve your issue. Look at what you do and take action in the right direction. Dale Carnegie said that if you have a worry, you should do these three things. Number one, Dale Carnegie, okay? Ask yourself, what is the worst that can happen? Number two, prepare to accept it if you have to. And number three, calmly proceed to improve on the worst. Now, the magic in this formula is in taking action. Many people resign themselves to their worries and do nothing. They tell themselves nothing can be done except to wait for the worst to happen. And as a result, their worries get bigger and bigger, and things get worse and worse. Doing nothing fertilizes anxiety. It causes your worry to spread out of control and take over your life. Taking action is a weed killer. It removes worry like a weed, okay? And removes it once and for all. Paul said this in Philippians 4, verse 9, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. The key phrase here is to put it into practice. Just as there is a correlation between worry and prayer, there is a correlation between worry and action. The more you do of one, the less you'll do of the other. Worry is a signal that something isn't right. It's not part of God's plan for your life. He never promises a life without rain or sorrow or struggles. But he does promise you and me a life without worry. So when worry creeps into your life, it's a signal that something isn't right. You could say that worry is a call to action. When you're worried, you know that it's time to make some changes. So just take a moment right now and think about one thing you tend to worry about in your life. I think we all have something that worries us, if we're honest. One thing could be your health, maybe your finances, or your marriage, or your kids. Just choose one for just a moment. And with this topic of worry in your mind, ask yourself some questions. First, what are my priorities here? Am I seeking God first in this situation, or am I seeking me first? Am I trusting him, or am I trusting me? Do I want what he wants, or do I want what I want? What are my priorities? The second question, have I prayed about this? I'm not saying that you haven't. I'm asking you to ask yourself, has this been a matter of prayer for me? Am I praying biblically? Am I praying in faith? Am I casting my worries on him in prayer? Or am I giving the matter lip service and not really letting go of it? A third question, have I taken action in the direction of my worries? I don't know about you, but I've noticed in my life, when I take a small step, even a pathetically small step in the direction of my worries, God gives me a disproportionate amount of peace in the matter. When I step in the direction that God shows me, I take a small step, he removes a huge chunk of worry. Also, in looking back at the steps I've taken in the direction of my worries, they're all small steps. Honestly, they were all easy to take. The truth is that we often hang on to our worries like they're a dear and precious friend. But if you let go of your worries, if you seek God first and trust God the most and follow him as best as you can, you'll get victory over worries and your life will be better as a result. I'm not sure that all the worrying that my mom did for me helped. But she sure was a good ma. She took care of me and loved me and cared for me, cared for a big family. We all gave her reason to worry, to say the least. But she loved us, and she loved the Lord. And we knew that. And in the end, that's really what mattered, that she loved Jesus. And she always, always knew that ultimately all she could do was leave us in Jesus' hands. And she did. And that's true of all of us, isn't it? All of our worries. Take those things that you worry about. Lay them at the foot of the Lord and say, Lord, I leave these with you. And now I live for you. Give me your peace, please. And give me a life that is filled with joy and peace. And he will. That's his promise. Let's pray. Father, consistently, when I pray, it's hard to worry as I'm praying. Because you're so much bigger than anything that I may let gnaw at me. You are bigger than any of my problems, any of my concerns, anything that's chewing away at me. You are far bigger than any of them. You are sovereign over all of it. You are Lord of all. Help us, Lord, help me to take those things that eat away at me, those things that cause me to worry, and lay them down at your feet in the presence of your sovereignty. And then begin to take steps that you lead me in. Father, I know that your call is not for us to live in worry. It's to live in peace and joy. And that you will bring that to us if we will be faithful to live for you. So, Father, today, help all of us to take that which we worry about and lay it at your feet and let you be sovereign over all of life. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.